Hi guys. Welcome to another Crypto Sparta podcast. We're working on production.
Think it's good. So
We
yeah.
we're working on improving
Our production value.
we're also like adding Crypto Sparta Podcast India and looking at growing in many different directions, but we had taken a week off due to many things, but it's been a bit dead regardless. It's been a
I
bit of a
mean, we
bear
are
market,
in a
but
bear market still. Recession is still happening. Ethereum, Bitcoin, a lot in the news. This past week, it was a little up, 10% up this week, actually, from, triple digit ETH, 989
did you fill your
to
bags?
12, yeah,
Yeah.
1200
I mean,
now.
triple digit ETH. I was.
I didn't buy because you. I mean, there's always that we're in a recession.
This
Rate
is.
hikes are still going up, so it's like
It's getting to
could go lower.
what we had said was that it's gonna get worse, and we always like to talk in memes, but
Yeah,
it's
Bitcoin
gonna
is.
go lower, and it's been a long time of. Did you buy the dip? Did you
I
buy the
feel
dip?
like
Like
we're
it.
just getting started, like as far as like how low things can go. Like Bitcoin was at, is basically hovering around 21,000 now. And like they're saying like 10K Bitcoin.
13.
It's,
13
yeah.
is a key level. And I didn't like to look at those things, but 13 does feel.
Well, no one believed them and
Yeah,
then
I
just
think
went
18
long
is a
and
key
got
level.
wiped.
And it's like a bear trap, bull trap. People are getting chopped up with leverage. And this is what we have said before. If you're just buying spot, you're just trapped in a game of whales. And you don't know what you're really subject to. Okay, you're not going to get liquidated, but you need to be understanding that 3AC is going to get liquidated, or someone else is going to get liquidated
Well, I don't know
because
if you
they're
have to worry
leveraged to the
about
gills.
3AC anymore because they're insolvent. Yeah.
Burn.
Yeah, but I don't know. So the thing is that this, I think we're just getting started with everything. I mean, the euro is like less than the dollar now. The pound is, losing strength towards the dollar. Canadian dollars is really cheap against the dollar. It's like 70 cents, 70 cents, 70 cents.
I'm saying pump it up, but this is the reality that we're going to transfer into the from the market of crypto into the idea of the macro situation. The things in the world are going very poorly.
Yeah, inflation is getting higher, shrinkflation, your portion sizes are
No,
getting
in
lower.
Europe it's getting really out of control, where I think that I it wasn't from my MBA, it was from when I was in Madison with Brian, where I learned about accounts, and then having a trading account as a country in terms of imports and exports. America has a deficit because we import more things than we export, but it doesn't matter because our economy is much larger. Europe, they export and they rely on exports, but when their currency gets devalued, they will sell more exports, but their profit margins are hurting. Their quality of life is hurting. And then today, there were some announcements from Germany regarding, I believe, was their energy consumption. It is looking really rough for Europe. And that's where I went to
Well,
school for my
Germany
MBA.
was gonna build that oil line from Russia, and then the war broke out, and now they kind of
And I'm
screwed.
not saying it's political, but man, I saw the tweet from years ago where Trump told them that they were dumb and they laughed at him. Oof,
Well, he
it
was
aged
also
like fine
dumb.
wine.
He's
Oh
a
my gosh,
he.
he told them, you owe us for NATO and you need to stop using Russian oil. It was so prescient, which is a term for with forethought. And literally, the European people laughed in their face. I was just in Europe for my MBA reunion, and really, Europe is going to, the hurting has
Wait,
just
I don't
begun.
know.
Things are going to get
When did
worse.
Trump say not to use Russian oil?
I will.
I feel like it's the opposite, where it's like to be more reliant. He said to use more oil, basically, and said no.
No, he told them energy. He told them that they were too dependent on Russian oil.
Oh, Europe was?
Yes.
In general?
Yes. And they laughed at him. And they said that he said that they were going to regret it. And I'm not like a Trump fan or anything. It's just you have to admit when certain people, Europe is getting choked now and they're going to face shortages. Today, Biden at the G7 was saying that they're going to try to cap oil prices, which means that there will be shortages. There's already shortages of food.
He was sending a letter to like the oil people saying like, oh, you're taking too much profits. Like, please stop.
And the funny thing is, it just sends a message. It sends a message of weakness. What is going to happen is that they're going to cut production. There are going to be shortages. There will be pain. The prices will shoot through the roof.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
I mean,
like, so we're living with our parents, like, you know, planning for it to be bad. Like, we're one step ahead. Like, we don't want to pay rent. We're saving money. Buckling down.
Okay, so I'm going to play it. We like to play things from...
Germany will become totally dependent on Russian energy if it does not immediately change course.
I mean, it's already true.
It's true.
I mean, it was true before.
This is not political. This is not financial advice, not legal advice.
Yeah. I mean, they were going to build that that oil pipeline from Russia, and then that got paused.
Maintaining our independence from the encroachment of expansionist foreign powers.
I think the world's, though, in general, the U.S. is reliant on Russian oil. With the
world is reliant on OPEC as well. I think that we cover the market. We cover typically the crypto market, but then we go to the macro market, and I try to take my knowledge of international business and markets. The euro is below the dollar. This is incredible. I went to school in Europe. I was recently there for my reunion. They get paid much less, but they have much better amenities. But they tax very hard. And so people make less. And the margins, if you can do simple math, I mean, the maximum you can make is 60,000, but that's like 100,000 in dollars. In the US, 100,000 is not what it used to mean. And now if you're a maximum earning 20 to 30 year old, you'll be making 150, maybe. Now in the coastal cities, you need 200 to be able to live, because in San Francisco, the cost of living, everything has shot up. Groceries has shot up. Every single rental apartment has shot up. And,
yeah, I mean, I don't know if I talked about this last time, but like there's an article by Bloomberg or something where it's like, you know, people, millennials making $250,000.
Living paycheck to paycheck.
Living paycheck to paycheck. Over 60% of them. And that's like crazy.
Well, their interest rates on their student loans for their upper education levels.
And then they need to debt too.
So in India, I can relate to it, because what happens is that, and I'm not, and not, we need to not get too political, but I'm not a communist or anything. But at the same time, there is a monopolistic sentiment where you need to work for a certain few companies, and they have all of the power to dictate your terms of employment. You go to law school, you go to medical school. Brian, I mean, what is the math on medical school?
It's a very small percent. It's a really small percent. It's really hard to get in.
And then you spend a lot of money, but then the interest payments on your student loans, you have to make. I think so then the employer has the leverage, because they know
it's not like you have to make, you will make. The thing is that if you stick with it, you will make it back eventually.
But you can't lose your job. And so then if your job says, okay, we'll fire you if you do this.
It's a long path. You like can't if you that. Burn out too, then or like something else, or like, you know,
the margin for error is
career less. Paths, it's like med school, it's like a 10-year thing once you get in, because it's like 4 years and then 6 years of residency. And during residency, you're making 70K, but you're working like 70 to 80 hours a week. Or maybe close to 100, I think. I think there's like a
cap. And then it's a delicate balance where if you become...
But if you stick with it, then eventually you'll make like 500,000. And like hopefully that makes it all back. Which is 500,000 is a lot, you know.
It is a lot. But then taxes do eat away. And then it is weird where if you live the lifestyle of being a coastie. And then so this is... let's wrap up this idea because we're maybe a bit off track, but know that Brian and I are educated graduate school students that live with their parents. I think that's who we are. So
yeah. And we're in our just turned 30.
Yeah. But I mean, bullish on moving back in with your parents. Like,
yeah, we don't have to pay rent.
I mean, it's a smart, and we're both.
I mean, we still have jobs.
We have immigrant parents.
Yeah,
might have different values. So,
yeah, I mean, for Asian culture, it's very common to live with your parents when you're older, unless you're like married or something. So it's like different cultural values too.
There was another tweet that I was going to bring up. Be nice to your parents because you never know when you'll have to move back in with them because of the bear market. And
yeah,
I'm going to do like a really brief little thing, but I'm not going to reveal numbers, but recently had a discussion with the IRS to deal with taxes. If you make money, lose money, and if you move money around, I think we had talked about it a couple podcasts ago of the nightmare scenario. This one woman had made a shit ton of money off of Luna.
Oh, yeah.
So moved her Luna, sold, and then that carries a giant tax burden.
Then she reinvested it back
into USDT, into the Luna stablecoin that UST. Then lost all its value. But
yeah.
On paper, she had made a shit ton of money and owed hundreds of thousands to the government.
That's why you got to always account for taxes.
Yes. She ended up having paper losses, but she incorrectly moved the money around. So she had a tax bill of several hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. If you're going
to. She had to sell her house.
You have to account for capital gains tax and whatever income tax you're in. But. You know, these are all things because, you know, markets are collapsing. Like the crypto market, like now it's just revealing its like true colors. It's basically been a house of cards. And it's like you pull the card from the bottom and everything is starting to collapse.
I mean, the Ponzi's though, it's like they pulled cards at every level.
But it's not even Ponzi. It's like, I guess, are you going to call like centralized exchanges Ponzi's now? Like, because those are the ones that are collapsing. Because like Voyager's collapsing, or like there's like tweets that BlockFi like lost like $300 billion.
And Sam Bankman-Fried is just buying up all the debt.
Yeah, because
so he's gonna own the world.
They're just I mean, the thing is that these centralized exchanges are mismanaging, are being very irresponsible with the
funds. Might as well be called fraud. To be honest, it is fraud. It's fraudulent behavior because they're taking funds and then using that to lend out and leverage. It's fraud.
Yeah, high institutional leverage. So yeah, they're loaning out to. So the reason why that, you know, Voyager and all these is because they made deals with 3AC, or like, you know OTC deals with 3AC. And so those positions became underwater, and then now they're losing a ton of money.
on. Well, so 3AC is apparently down to Bill.
Yeah.
They were college buddies, like Brian and I were, and they made a shit ton of money. And then Suzu said, Supercycle, the supercycle, crypto only goes up. And then everything unwound. The deleveraging and the greed. I've been talking about it with Brian, where we're just a small boat on the ocean of leverage. And you think that you're being smart and you have a thesis. And I like the idea of an investment thesis. What is your thesis? That crypto adoption will take off. Okay, money is going up. I'm smart. But actually, you don't realize what's really going on is that all of these centralized agencies are levering up. And what
and one they're of the, also, I mean, they're bullish on BTC. They're like, oh, it'll never go down to here.
Yep.
Or like to this certain level.
Well, and I heard the liquidation was 23, and then Suzu was like stealing money from the people that deposited with him to trading accounts. So 3AC has like special deals.
Yeah. So they made a deal with this Korean company. The
put largest, a bill, put a million into our trading accounts to or what
so was it three large, or five? So this Dealio, which is the largest Korean crypto lending company, was holding 38,000 BTC, made a $600 million deal with 3AC just before it publicly went bankrupt. So like they're making these deals trying to
they're gamblers. They're Bill Huang. Well, they're Bill Huang.
They're trying to, and then there's all this story about the mega yacht that Suzu had that they used as a way and to show them that they had money. It's like, oh, why? I have money. Like, look at the super yacht I just bought. So they were using it as a ploy, you know, kind of to fake how much money they actually had to make these deals. And so, you know, BlockFi, Voyager, like they're all have more liabilities than they have crypto on hand. So they can't. So
they're leveraged to the gills. And now
irresponsibly leveraged because they
have the liquidation cascades stopped. And we've gone through this. Look, if one person gets liquidated, then they're forced to sell. And then if you add supply of sales, then that drives the price down further. That liquidates more people. We've talked about it's called gamma, and I'm not that informed about it. But
yeah, I don't even know what gamma is.
It's what happened with GameStop. The big thing is that like these things have a spiral. They have leverage. I keep talking about the idea of an ocean where there are larger waves. It's not just Brian and I buying crypto here and there. It's like these, honestly, I'm going to call them assholes who talk mad shit that think that they're super fucking smart. Yeah. And then they're ruining it for everybody. But there's a lot of just gambling junkies and addicts. And then they force Sam Bankman-Fried, the market maker, to just force the market down, liquidate people. And then clear out all the riffraff. But
it's easy money for SBF. Like,
I mean, and he's going to be in control of the world, perhaps.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's Voyager announced like they got
bailed out by
a loan from Alameda and or like SBF. But I mean, there's sayings that these are just, you know, publicity grabs, sunk grabs, just to say that. Just to ease the public mindset that, you know, funds are safe.
Funds are safe. They're never safe. That was what we wanted to get to, is that actually.
Yeah. So Arthur Hayes is like, any and all bailouts should be viewed as PR stunts until actually money is deployed. Because I think they took a look at the actual loan agreement between Voyager and
it is so
unattainable to get the money.
It's like incredibly stringent.
Yeah, the terms are like nearly impossible to complete in order to access the loans. Like they need to like KYC all their like
so people are I like, don't I don't mean to I'll say that it's redacted. Redacted told me about, and I'll say, I can gender, sorry, but his bad loans that he took out in the 80s. Redacted had to resolve them with debtors, and then people buy the loans, and then you go into agreements. So SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried, the Giga Brain, you know, peak performance, like male, peak male performance. This guy is buying up the debt of all of these irresponsible.
So Lehman Brothers 2008 are like,
they got bailed out by the
bailed out. So there's no government in crypto to bail them out because there's no regulation. So it's just people, they try to panic and, you know, find the things at the lowest, deal, people with the most money trying to get loans. And so they're getting these. Sam Bankman-Fried is going to basically have a monopoly over crypto.
He's got their balls in the vice.
Yeah.
And then if they're ever solvent, until they pay him back, they have no power.
Yeah.
They are so in a vice lock that until he gets his money back, they just have to dig themselves out of, you know, a canoe with a hole in the water.
They're rowing with a concrete canoe, basically.
Yes. And then until they pay off Sam Bankman-Fried, he is their master. You seen Succession? Yeah,
Yeah, he's pulling the strings. So
I mean, otherwise, though, they probably would have gone to jail for fraud.
Oh, who's to say that they won't? Like,
they probably should.
I mean,
they were being irresponsible with people's coins. Elizabeth
Warren is like, you know, rolling, or she's the laughing in the room right now, saying like, "I told you so," or like, "This now we'll be able to like put as much regulation."
This is when it gets personal. I can't stand her.
Well, she's all about. She's against crypto for this exact reason.
Pocahontas? Yeah.
Yeah. No, she's like. The banks.
Yeah, she likes the banks, but she wants to regulate the banks. She's a commie.
But I'm saying that this is what she wants. Like,
she wants the centralized
crypto to fail.
Yes,
and so she wants centralized exchanges to fail because these are supposedly safe.
Yeah, she wants failure.
Yeah, so she's happy right now. But yeah, you know, not only like, so all these things in the bull market is way different than the bear. And these people were not prepared for a bear market or even the possibility of one. And then
Suzu was saying super cycle, super.
Yeah, I think we're not in a super cycle anymore.
They're down 2 billion.
Yeah.
And then these are the Daniele Sesta. We got burned. You start.
Trust no one, man.
Yeah.
Trust no one. Take everything, what everybody says, as a grain of salt. And it's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We can't get fooled
again. Can't get fooled again.
Yeah. So, you know, now it's just like learning the scope. You can't trust anything. Never. Funds are never safe.
Never safe,
unless they're in your hardware wallet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, not even like these things like BNT is failing with, or Bancor with their impermanent loss protection that they said that they have, and now they're pausing it when you need it the most. So Bancor is pausing IL protection, impermanent loss protection, which is, you know, an LP pool.
Are we going to deep dive into this? Because it actually deserves it. And then the thing is,
well, they were the ones who said IL protection is a Ponzi, basically.
Yeah.
That's because so the whole premise of impermanent loss is that, you know, liquidity pools, when market is volatile, you're not gaining as much as you should. So you're losing that just like get left off, or like, you know,
The thing is, what happens is, so you want an exchange. And so then what happens is you have two sides of an exchange for whatever two assets or coins or whatever the fuck you want to call them. And then if you want to give to be able to provide liquidity, you need both sides to be able to say that I'll change this for that. When one side is just getting murdered, then if the supply dries up, if you provide both sides, but then there's none of one side left. Imagine that there's dollars and euros, and no one wants euros, and everybody wants dollars. And you gave euros and dollars at a certain point. When everybody gets rid of their euros, you only get dollars back, and the euros that you had given to the protocol to the exchange, they say, we'll give you a bit of the fees, but the euros disappear. There are no euros left. No one wants euros, and your euros are worthless. And you balanced out your dollars to euros when you would have been better just holding dollars. Because if one side goes to zero, that's impermanent loss.
But the thing is that they said that they, so a lot of these pairs were against their own native token. So like BNT, which is Bancor's token, with like Link, for example. And so the tokenomics is basically realizing that, you know, they just print new of their own token.
And then their own token goes to zero.
To compensate underwater LPs and call it impermanent loss protection.
They said it was genius, and it was bullshit.
The cost is transferred to BNT holders via inflation, which causes further IL to all other BNT pairs and leads to a further inflation, a death spiral. So it doesn't actually reduce it. It just, you know, creates more incentives at the problem. And then, you know,
people
when things
that
go to shit, it just collapses.
Yeah. People that in a bull market think they're geniuses, you start to question things, and then
no one's a genius.
No, actually.
And people who say they're geniuses, they don't showcase or they don't scream it to the world.
It's a valuable lesson, you know, like it's. Yeah, Sam Bankman-Fried. I mean, he is a genius. Like there are certain BNT... people. There is the Kraken CEO. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
But the Kraken CEO said, we do not act like a, what Suzu and these other people were doing is basically acting like they're geniuses that know the market. Instead of just having a fundamental business, the Kraken CEO, all they do is take fees. All they do is fill orders. They're not fiddling with like backroom deals.
Yeah, they're not trying to use the funds in the background to make more money.
Yeah, and then the 3AC is Three Arrows Capital. We haven't said that for a long time. The big thing is like, dude, they were getting like loan different shit and they were leveraging up, and then they were having people give them money to do institutional OTC deals. If I've lost
you, they got too long in BTC and got fucked by the dips.
No, the big thing was Luna. They were like half a billion to Luna. And so if they're Luna,
well, they tried to, and that, so
he thought,
so they tried to double down.
He was thinking up only.
So when they lost Luna, they doubled down. They try to like make it back, like
make it back in one trade.
Yeah. So, or like, you know, so that's like increase the leverage, you know, we're going to make it back. So they were like super long BTC and then it just crashed.
Well, and then they apparently their liquidation level is 23, but they kept getting loans from people. And then they
was Celsius, but also
no, BNT. No, I heard it was 3AC. But then what happened was apparently they were also like stealing the coins from people that were depositing into their trading accounts. So same way that Alameda offers like trading for their customers that are liquidity providers, LPs. I mean, we're kind of all over the place, but we actually are doing a really deep dive into the breakdown of like how this death spiral is happening. It's equal parts macro, it's equal parts leverage, It's equal parts like
schemey shit,
straight up fraud.
Yeah,
these are
slimy people.
Yes, that act like they're fucking geniuses. That might have gotten lucky through the bull market of all bull markets, but I mean, there are other bull markets that have happened. And I mean, the question is, I'm saying that it's going to get worse. It's the way I feel. It will get worse.
Yeah, we brace ourselves. There, you can always we always say,
we didn't talk about the harmony in the next.
You can always go lower.
I'm gonna use the restroom, but if you wanna, can you just fill in on the harmony and Nexo things?
Yeah. So basically, harmony got hacked, and so there's no liquidity on the bridges. So, yeah, they got hacked for like $100 million, and they don't know who did it really. They're offering up rewards. That crushed Harmony. Nexus person just basically pulled the Eric Trump where he's founder and family siphons funds from charity for sick kids, used donations as personal slush fund, even built palace for themselves. And so, yeah, all these threads doing reporting, it's not good for crypto in general. And so there's all these, it's just collapsing. It's just one domino falling after another. And it's tough to, you know, it's fun to watch because you're just like, I can't look away. Like, this is great. Everything's burning. But also it's kind of sad because it feels like crypto is taking a step back or taking two steps back. So that's, you know, things are starting to get pretty dark and bleak. Like, if you can't trust the centralized exchanges, like, what can you trust, really? As far as, you know, everything seems unstable right now. It's hard to even, like, you know, experiment in DeFi or something because there's the risk of getting hacked or something collapsing. Like, yeah, so Harmony is down to like 2 cents now. You know, 30 days, like down 40%. And so it's just all the charts are so bad. Went from 40 cents down to 3 cents or 2 cents. So it's kind of crazy where it's hard to find like good news nowadays in crypto.
Well, I mean, on the flip side, there was a lot of news from NFT NYC. And I think that Brian and I are trying to settle on our rhythm, but like we like to keep it free flowing. Where we start with the market and then we do macro and then, you know, eventually we try to get to NFTs and touch on what's happening with NFTs. NFT NYC, it's got to be brutal. And I got to say, in terms of the market,
I mean, props to them. It seemed like it was still like people were still having a good time, like optimistic, like. People were happy, you know, seemed like a joyous kind of vibe.
Well,
on Twitter, at least, we didn't go, but
the interesting and rough thing is that it's like the value of ETH has like plummeted. And then if your NFT stays at the same value, you're like, oh yeah, I bought mine at like one or two ETH. And my NFT is, you know, such and such. But if ETH is super low, and then there is like some market inconsistencies that I've heard. And then, for instance, Keyboard Monkey that we've talked about is like a really big NFT guy. There is arbitrage on people in inefficient markets. But the age of the unsophisticated 10K PFP NFT is maybe over. At this point, though, it is about being in a club, but the price of being in the club has dropped drastically.
Yeah, I think like Bored Apes right now is like 100 they're 23,000.
There was that one guy who was famous for talking shit, being like, if you don't have 100K PFP, don't talk to me. And then now his Bored Ape is worth less than 100K.
Yeah, apparently, a lot of what I got from...
Should we play a song, though?
NYC NFT. NFT NYC. God, this is a tongue twister. But it's like, the people in the community are like hating on each other. Like, there's some like Bored Ape assholes out there, like, you know, like don't act like politely or
it's gotten civilized
in real life. It's and they think that they're better than everyone.
It's gotten commercialized in a way that but do you want to play that I mean, it's kind of strange where
the Crypto Boy song?
No, the ApeCoin.
Oh, Eminem song?
Yeah.
That's like Dream. I'm not going to play a full song.
No, you don't. But I mean...
But it's basically like...
Well, I mean, play a bit of it because I haven't even seen it. And then I've seen them playing on stage. And
so Eminem what I'd and heard, Snoop Dogg released a song, basically.
Yeah. These are like social movements, basically. And now Bored Ape... Oh, this is the Bored Ape song.
I don't think he even like raps about Bored Ape Yakma, but the thing is that he tagged the community when he was posting the link, releasing the song.
So they went out on Bored Ape, they went out on Ape Fest. And now, is it like a ticket to being a cool kid? But then what it is apparently it's a very douchey community of people that think they're better than everyone.
And they just treat people poorly because they think they're better than everyone.
Because they're, And I mean, at the end of the day, also, not to feed into these things, but we're reporters. I think that Brian and I are reporters. Reporting to you guys the news.
Observance.
The Bored Ape people are they're not particularly attractive people, or that they're attracting women. It's like mainly men. It's like a very niche men thing. And being someone who owns something or who was early to something isn't necessarily attractive to women. I'm not trying to be, you know, whatever, but I don't think that owning a Bored Ape is actually as cool as the people that own them think that is.
Yeah. I don't know if it's not like something that you want to be.
It's like, I mean, the value has drastically decreased. And it is part of a culture, but the thing is, all of these PFPs, which are profile pictures, all of these clubs are kind of dependent on who is a member. And why are they members? Are they invested? Some people are so invested, some people are not. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like being in a club with Brian and I. Are you cool with being in a club with us? Because we're nerdy guys that like crypto. But are you accepting $100,000 to be a part of this club?
Yeah, the ticket membership. I mean, it's exclusive, right? There's only 10,000 spots.
It's a social phenomenon. But what the question is did they overplay their hand? Are they over commercialized? And meanwhile, at Milady, there's the Jesus woman. I mean, I think we should... discuss this.
Let you take that one.
So there are apparently also I was really paying attention to the NFT NYC stuff. There's the Doodles, the Sappy Seals, the Pudgy Penguins. Apparently the Pudgy Penguins had a very cool party. Is this what NFTs are? I think that
it's just a meetup space.
No, things are going to change. It's going to be about intellectual property. I mean, so what they were saying is, will the Bored Apes be the What fill in the blank? Blockbuster, will they be the Kodak? Will they be the, I mean, Kodak's still around, but.
I mean, I think the technology hasn't changed though. How those things like.
Well, are they getting too commercialized? Are they going.
Blockbuster went out of business because there's a better technology, right? Streaming, no one came out.
But why, what does make Bored Apes unique? They just have like a treasure trove of money. That's one thing. They have some cultural cachet.
I think,
but are they going to alienate people because they're
the thing about Bored Apes,
the thing is Yacht Club. Are they an overpriced?
They make it attractive to keep holding because they keep creating new things of value.
But
like if you bought a Bored Ape, like
you made a shit ton of money
because you got the Bored Ape and then you got the mutants and then you got the. Ape coin.
No.
And then you had the, and then you got the.
But Brian, you bought rant. When Eminem bought. You bought when they were at their peak, and now you're down.
You still got ape coins.
No. After ape coin.
Oh, I thought he bought before ape coin.
Maybe he did, but
I'm pretty
if you
sure
bought before bought. Ape coin, and then you had ape coin, but you held. What is it today? I mean, we were talking about how Aubrey doubled up, but did he sell?
Well, I think the rule of thumb is for airdrops, once you get them, you should sell them right away because that's when the value is the highest.
No, but it doubled up, but then now it plummeted.
Well, because that's
it started off at around $9.50. It went up to like $24.
Now it's $5.
Now it's at $5. Yeah, did you bag hold? Did you buy Ape at like 13 or 17? Do you think it was going to the fucking moon?
But I'm saying people who got airdropped... the ape coins.
Some like, people all in with their net worth.
It was six figure airdrop that they got for their apes.
Yeah, and then they all in, and then now they're like underwater.
From the ape
and coin? Plus, these people are you full time?
I mean,
are you full
time? How can crypto? They be underwater if they got airdropped ape coin for free?
They all in their net worth.
Afterwards,
yeah.
To buy more ape coin,
they got like a six figure airdrop, and they were like, "I'm gonna put like." 2 million in, and then it went up to 24 and they never sold, and now it's down at 5.
Yeah, it sucks.
Meanwhile, they're traveling the world for crypto conferences.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the goal of NFTs, they want to be commercialized. So over commercialized is not a bad thing.
It is a bad thing when you start to make it jaded, like then your legitimacy in the NFT community starts to
but I don't know. Bored Apes is the OG one, so it's like
no. CryptoPunks was the OG one.
I'm saying,
and then it was Bored Apes, and then yeah, what's going to be the next one? I think that there's a.
But think about it: the most successful ones that are staying alive right now is Bored Apes. Like
they're down like 70%,
but it's still better than all the other NFT projects.
Who says who? Goblin Town went up in the bear market.
Yeah,
but I'd rather have a goblin.
What's
town.
The ETH value? The floor ETH value is like less as like maybe an ETH. Still
no, but depending on when you bought it,
is over
no.
Over
so 100. So this is the whole point. When did you get in? When did you get out?
But I'm saying, think about it. It's still not so it's not. You don't lose until you sell, right? So if you keep holding, you're still getting new stuff. So I still like think like Bored Apes is still like. The number one community thing and most like valuable to still hold because you don't know about future stuff.
Do you think that it will grow in value or decrease in value?
I think it will grow if NFTs keep on growing. If NFTs don't grow, then
I think NFTs are going to be diluted and then the value will decrease across the board.
I mean, I think right now there's a very strong opinion that NFTs are bullshit. You know, they're so dumb. I've seen a lot of people converse with a lot of people saying that NFTs
they were saying that NFTs were a hype as well as coins were a hype, and I think that's true. But I also think that a lot of it, like we said, if you're just buying spot coins, dude, man, you're at the whims of like a lot of just jackasses. They're really ruining it for all of us.
Yeah,
just leveraging to the gills on billions or whatever fucking. ruining the market because the market makers are just, you realize that the free market actually makes you more vulnerable than, and the government market is also, you're vulnerable to fucking Nancy Pelosi. But I mean, we're just really vulnerable to, you cannot predict the future. This is not financial advice. This is not legal advice. We speculate, but we discuss kind of news, and you can see that these are not fair markets.
Yeah, definitely not fair.
There's a lot of people that are going to go to jail. If not even should go to jail, they will go to jail. There are people that were fraudulently taking deposits from clients. And then I believe based off of the laws and from what I've understood, they are illegally, placing bets and doing things.
Funds, like people's funds.
They're taking the money that you deposit and then they're lending it out, and they're leveraging themselves. It's irresponsible. It's unethical. And, you know, I'm a very libertarian-minded person, but I believe that these things are unethical and illegal. And I hate to be like that. I don't want, you know, you wish everybody played fair when it comes to crypto.
Yeah, there's just like
there's no rules,
because you want it, because it's good for the, you know, field overall if everyone plays fair and like is good, because it's like kind of like a unspoken agreement, or like, you know, where it's no, like,
and people just start playing with the background deals, and then you realize. I signed up for.
There's no one can stop you.
I signed up for Amway just to be like, so how does this scam work? I was in college and I was just like, yeah. Oh, you sell to the people that sell for you. Yeah. And it's like, oh, so we only drink what we sell and then we convince everybody to buy. It's similar stuff. And what I felt though was when they crossed the line was that they were taking other people's coins as collateral. So what we're really discussing is that people didn't know that when they banked with someone, and Brian was trying to say it was centralized, decentralized exchanges. No, it's centralized, decentralized finance, where you're giving money to a centralized exchange that then gives you a return that then is using decentralized finance to try to get yields.
And they were giving or trying to get maintain unattainable or like not sustainable.
That's what happened with Luna.
So like ETH, for example, the max you can single side stake is 5.35, but you know, percent. And then, you know, Celsius was giving out 7%. Like, how are they getting that extra 2% by just levering up the already staked ETH on some random platform?
And when you actually dig into the details, these organizations, it wasn't like they were like, every time you give me $20, I'm just gonna move it here and there and get an extra 10. It was like, we're like shoving in like a ton of our chips onto this one bet. Yeah. Like 3AC was like, okay, we're gonna arbitrage, for those that don't understand. Like, it's like, we're going to arb and count on this, like, 10% grayscale Bitcoin. We need to cover it in a future episode. We need to do a deeper dive, but.
Yeah, it's, like, getting really shady out there.
And if things keep getting worse, which we're maybe predicting, I mean, could keep getting worse, because apparently the stuff in Europe might be a contagion, the China supply chain issues. Brian was saying it's not as relevant to the crypto markets to do the macro, but I think it's valuable to really explain, like, dude, crypto is not, it's actually a very, very correlated risk asset. It has to do with if people have extra spending money and if they're willing to risk. That is what's happening. And at the moment, when we look at other currencies, they're dropping against the dollar. Everything is going to the safe haven. The gold markets, the silver markets are manipulated. Stocks are going down. I believe house prices are going down. Interest rates are going up. If you have money, take out loans now before the interest rates get even higher. Although maybe you wait till everything crashes. And if you have enough money, then you pay in cash instead. I mean, the macroeconomics are really impacting the crypto market, which what we're having to say in reality is a small factor in the global economy.
Yeah. Don't know how to else to reiterate how, you know, shitty things can get.
It's getting worse, bro. It's gonna get worse. Move in with your parents.
Is that our show?
Yeah. I mean,
money.
Yeah. Should we just chill? I was thinking of a couple things where it was like dollars, like short foreign exchange. They're doing limits on gas. I think that if they actually try to put a price cap, there's going to be shortages. So I would say that there's going to be a spike in commodity prices. Like, literally, like, brace yourself for impact. And I don't even know how to do shorts, really. I mean, I know about the mechanisms, but I haven't done it myself. But
I don't know how to. I don't want to learn how to.
I mean, I think that the recession is going to get worse, I believe. I don't know. This is like where we shill ideas of how to invest. And I think that, yeah, we had said save it like money. A couple invest in lentils. Lentils, rice, ammunition,
canned goods,
some leads or heads of cabbage, perhaps like a home garden.
Yeah.
Some pickles.
Turn your backyard into a farm, farmland.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's it can always go lower. Now that you know, I think in the bull market, none of us thought things could go low, and then they actually get there, and then it's like, damn, things, and then it'll go lower. And you always think 90% is like, oh, that's only 10% more. It can go 90% down from that 10% left.
So I've been reading into like sophisticated trading methods that, like, for instance, Sam Bankman-Fried would talk about. And I know some of these might be illegal in the United States, so I'm just theoretically discussing this, not legal or financial advice. You could theoretically take out a leveraged short and then provide enough collateral so that the interest is paid. And then you could also long at like a half amount. So the weightage of, if you weight yourself to the downside on a leveraged short, what could happen is that if it goes down, you win big. But you believe that in general, things will go up.
You're hedging against.
Exactly.
So you have majority short and then hedge long some things to cover.
Not even majority short. Imagine you have the same amounts of long and short. But what you do is that the risk level of your short is much higher. But if your short goes down really hard, you win a ton of money. Dude, I believe things are going to go up, so I'm going to leverage up 2x. But on the downside, I'm going to do 50x. If it goes up, it's cut out. But if the market plunges, then I'm up big. But I still have a leveraged long. And then this is when you start teasing with the percentages. So for instance, I believe that the market's going to go up, but I'm going to put $1,000 up. But I'm going to, 2x, 5x it, whatever. And then you pay interest. This is how leverage starts to like fucking make you gamble.
I'm just like zoning out because I don't even want to hear about how to leverage.
But think about that, I 50x short.
I mean, all this is okay.
Well, if it goes up, theory, if it goes up, if theory. It goes up. No. It's not about. It's about understanding. It's just simple mathematics.
Yeah.
If it goes down, and I have 50x leverage short.
But how do you know when it's going to go up or down?
You don't. But so yeah. What you do is you say, I'm going to leverage
short if you know for sure it's going to go down.
No, you hedge. You hedge if it's going to go down. If it goes up, you have it also going up. You have both positions. But you leverage very high to the low. So you're like, if a black swan event happens, if Luna drops through the floor, I'm going to be rich.
Yeah.
But I have like a bigger chunk of money. This is the difference of size versus
size. Your size is not size.
So if I put $100 on a 50x leverage that it goes down,
you get 50,000, 5,000.
But if it doesn't go down, eventually the interest eats up my $100 and then I get closed out. Then I get liquidated.
Yeah.
On my long, if it's just 2x, but I have like 30,000, like I believe it's going to go up, you know?
Yeah.
I have $30,000 and it's leveraged a bit to go long. You know?
Yeah.
And then my liquidation is at like, what, 20 or 18,000. But I take out 100x leverage short to hedge my bet. So if it goes through the ground, then I make a ton of money. But then you have to have like a sell order at the bottom.
And then you're never going to get that sell order probably because it's too clogged.
What Sam Bankman-Fried does is that he has buy and sell orders up and down, and he's leveraged, and then the size and the leverage.
Well, they're saying to do that, they look at like whatever 30 seconds.
They're gigabrains. They're watching Sam Trabuco.
Yeah, Tabasco.
Yeah, Sam Tabasco, Alameda. They're geniuses.
Yeah, that's who we're trading against, basically.
You're at the whims of the whales.
Yeah. They make the currents that we play on, basically. But yeah.
Good time to buy. I don't know. I'm still. What's your shill?
I'm still doing. I mean, like, if you want to do USDC, I think that one's like the only good stable coin. And they're venturing out into euros, the euro stable coin. But I don't know. I still think cash is king in wartime. I think you take the inflation loss. And then, you know, if you want to, you know, do a small amount of ETH or whatnot, no altcoins for me. Maybe Link only.
Ooh,
but like, how can you like trust your centralized exchanges though to even buy?
Yeah, pull your coins.
Yeah.
Off of all the.
Yeah, I pulled mine off of Voyager. I sent it out because I was like, I had a whole bunch in Voyager. I got burned by Celsius not keeping it in too long, so didn't want to make the same mistake twice. Pulled my funds out of Voyager. Yeah. Can't trust no one.
I would say I'll do like, I had like all sorts of shills in my mind, but just looking at our little thing. Dude, blue chip NFTs, historical ones. Seriously, dig deep into what was in digital history, because it's going to be the flex in the future. And I think that NFTs are a bit undervalued at the moment. Like, they've been hit hard. But at the same time, I think things are going to get worse. Literally. I assume that the people listening to us are perhaps a bit better off or have some disposable income. Just hold on to it.
Yeah.
You heard it from, yeah.
Yeah, you save now and then. I mean, eventually you start buying, but not now, because I think
it's going to get worse.
They're going to raise the even more rates, the Fed.
Inflation is going to increase. The pain is going to be felt.
And they're forcing people to have children now. It's good, like,
Yeah.
Times are hard. Tell it in our voice. Things are looking bleak.
Things are worse than ever.
Yeah.
But let's wrap it up on that.
That was the latest episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast. Thanks for listening.
Smithy. Peace.